You are put in this world to do something wonderful with your life. There has never been and will never be anyone just like you. You are unique in all of human history. Your special combination of talents, abilities, emotions, ideas, attitudes, and philosophy makes you separate and distinct from all other beings who will ever live. You have extraordinary potentials of talent and ability that you habitually fail to use. You have an incredible brain composed of as many as 100 billion cells. Each of these cells is connected and interconnected with as many as 20,000 other cells. The possible combinations and permutations of thought and ideas that you can have are greater than the number of molecules in the known universe. You are truly extraordinary. One of the most important questions you ever ask and answer is this: what kind of a difference do I want to make with my life? What do you want to be famous for? How do you want people to think about you and talk about you when you're gone? What kind of a mark do you want to leave on the world? What do you want to do that will benefit and improve the lives of other people while you are here on this earth and afterwards? In his writings, Peter Drucker tells about a high school teacher who advised his students to begin thinking of the legacy that they wanted to leave when they passed on. Even though they were only in their late teens, he advised them that it was not too early to begin thinking of leaving a legacy. 10 years later, at a class reunion, Peter Drucker tells about meeting with some of the students in that class. It turned out that a few of them had taken that message to heart and had already begun thinking of leaving a legacy when they started their careers. Each of those students, he found, had reached far higher levels of success in their careers than had the other students who had not given the idea of leaving a legacy very much thought. These young men were different from the others in their orientation toward themselves and their world. They had higher levels of self-esteem and self-respect. They were more serious and self-confident. The thought of leaving a legacy had influenced their thinking and affected their decision-making for several years. What kind of a legacy do you want to leave? Stephen Covey, in his best-selling book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, says that the 4 great goals of life are to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. It seems that most of the great men and women of history have given a good deal of thought to the contribution they wanted to make to their society while they were alive and after they were dead. Peter Daniels, an Australian businessman, read more than 500 biographies and autobiographies of famous men and women. He found that these men and women all had one thing in common. He called it a sense of destiny. Throughout history, men and women who have left a real mark on their societies have believed that their lives had a special meaning. They believed that they were put on this earth to do some great thing that would benefit mankind. When I was a young man, I traveled by Land Rover through Africa and worked with Dr. Albert Schweitzer at his village of Lamborini in Gabon. Schweitzer was one of the greatest humanitarians in human history, and his story is worth remembering. When he was 30 years old, in the late 1800s, he was the top Bach organist in Europe. He was the equivalent of a musical superstar today. He played in the great concert halls in the great capital cities of Europe. He was highly respected and extremely successful. And yet, at the age of 30, he began thinking about making a greater difference with his life. At that time, at the end of the 19th century, Africa was just opening up. There were many stories in the newspapers and magazines describing the sufferings and privations of the native peoples throughout the continent. He decided that he wanted to go to Africa and work with the natives. Albert Schweitzer decided to become a medical missionary. To that end, he went back to school and devoted 8 years of his life to earning a degree in tropical medicine. He played concerts on the side to raise money. At the age of 38, he loaded his medical supplies on a ship and sailed to Africa. He transferred his supplies to a small boat and traveled up the Uguay River to a thatched village called Lamborghini. There, he set up his tent and began his work. By the time he died, 53 years later, at the age of 91, his village hospital had grown to a population of 1,500 people with 40 medical doctors and specialists drawn from all over the world. Within 10 years of his death, there were more hospitals in the world named after him than after any other person in history. He left a legacy that will last 100 years and perhaps forever. Mother Teresa, of the Missionaries of Charity in Calcutta, was the greatest humanitarian of her age as well. She dedicated her entire life to working with the poor and dying people of India. Her message of unconditional love and acceptance had a profound effect on everyone who met her and on many millions who only knew about her from reading or from seeing her on television. She was a remarkable person. She left an extraordinary legacy that goes on to this day. In leaving a legacy and making a difference with your life in your community, begin with your values. These may be spiritual values, economic values, social values, personal values, human values, or any values at all that you consider to be important and relevant to the human condition. You may be motivated by love, compassion, freedom, God, kindness, sympathy, courage, or generosity. What moves you emotionally to give of yourself and your resources? Look at your community and your nation. What causes, organizations, movements, or schools of belief are you attracted to? What kind of a contribution would you like to make with your life? If you were extraordinarily wealthy, what causes would you contribute to? What changes would you like to see in your society that would be beneficial to other people? Bill and Melissa Gates of Microsoft have formed the Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation with $40 billion worth of assets. One focal point of their charitable activities is inoculations and vaccinations against dangerous diseases for children around the world, especially in third world countries. They've decided that one place where they can make a significant difference in the world is to assure that these children live to adulthood so that they can become active members of their communities. Many people contribute their time and money to their churches and to their spiritual activities. Others are committed to making a difference politically or economically. Many men and women are committed to improving educational opportunities for children or to teaching literacy to adults. Some people are committed to the environment and others to population control. The one factor that these people all have in common seems to be passion. People who make a significant difference in their worlds all seem to have a great passion for what they are doing and for what they espouse. They're often willing to suffer tremendous privation and make incredible sacrifices to promote their ideals. They believe deeply in the rightness and goodness of what they stand for, and they're willing to go great distances to promote their causes. Herodotus, the Roman philosopher, once wrote, "All of life is action and passion. Not to be involved with the actions and passions of your time is to run the risk of having not really lived at all." What is your passion? What problems or needs in your society do you really care about? What do you find yourself naturally attracted to and interested in? What sort of issues do you find yourself discussing, arguing, and debating? In what areas do you have strong feelings about what should be done or should not be done? Viktor Frankl, the founder of logotherapy and the author of the book Man's Search for Meaning, survived the Nazi death camps of World War II. During this time, he had a profound revelation. He found that the strongest driving force in the human psyche is the need for meaning and purpose. It was an intense desire to be committed to something bigger than the individual himself or herself. Viktor Frankl concluded that each person needs to be able to commit himself or herself to a cause that is greater than he or she is. Each of us needs to be dedicated to something that helps and benefits the lives of other people in some way. Each of us needs to be able to rise above ourselves, to get out of ourselves, and to put our hearts into doing something that makes a difference in the world and in the lives of others. So what is your vision of a perfect world? If the world were ideal in an area of great concern to you, what would it look like? Imagine that you could wave a magic wand and bring about the perfect situation, whatever it would be. What would it look like? When I was working with a committee in Washington that had been commissioned by the Congress to develop solutions to a perplexing national problem, we began with a simple question. If we were completely successful and all of our recommendations were accepted, what would America look like 5 or 10 years in the future? We spent several hours imagining and envisioning an America that was ideal in every respect. We then discussed and voted on which elements of this vision were most important. We organized these ideal elements in terms of priorities from the most important to the least important. At the end of this process, we had a common shared vision of exactly what it was that we were working toward. We then went to work on the problem, produced a series of thoughtful recommendations and conclusions, and submitted the entire report to the Congress. It turned out to be a tremendous success. When I work with nonprofit organizations around the country, we always start off with a vision statement. In this vision statement, we ask, what is our mission? We ask, if we were completely successful in achieving our mission, how would we know? What would it look like? What would happen? What goals would we have to achieve for us to be able to disband this organization and go home, content that we had been successful? Look around you in your society. There are many nonprofit organizations aimed at achieving a variety of social goals that need your help. Don't make the mistake of the average person who puts off getting involved until he or she has lots of money. Instead, invest your personal time and energy until you are in a position to invest your money in the organizations you believe in. Give of your time and emotion in a cause that you consider important today. Make this practice of contributing a regular part of your life. What are your goals for the type and level of contribution that you want to make to your society? If you had an unlimited amount of money, what would you want to do or achieve with that money in terms of improving your society or your community? And how would you measure your success? Andrew Carnegie, the great steel magnate, who started as a penniless day laborer in a Pittsburgh steel plant, sold his steel interest in 1895 for $595 million cash at a time when there were no income taxes. Throughout his life, he had a simple philosophy. It was to spend the first part of his life making a lot of money, and then to spend the second part of his life giving it all away. He was famous for having said, "He who dies rich dies dishonored." For the rest of his life, he built libraries and set up foundations to help people learn what they needed to learn to be successful and happy. By the time he died, he had given almost all of his money away. Today, the Carnegie Foundations and libraries that bear his name stand as a magnificent tribute to one of the greatest businessmen and philanthropists of American history. John D. Rockefeller, who became the richest man in the world at his time, started as a clerk at $3.75 per week. Even at that small salary, he gave as much as 50% of his salary to his church every week to contribute to the betterment of others. The years passed. When he was 52 years old, he was extraordinarily wealthy, probably the richest man in the world. He was also extremely sick, and his doctors told him that he would die within a year. In his sickbed, he thought back on his early years and the pleasure he had received from contributing to his church. He resolved that he would spend his last year giving his money away. He sold half of his stock in the Standard Oil Company and turned it into cash. He then began financing worthy causes around the country. Something incredible happened. The more money he gave away, the better he felt. His health improved. His illnesses and diseases went away. He recovered completely. He went on to live to the age of 91 in excellent health. By the time he passed away, he had given away millions and millions of dollars. Meanwhile, the value of the Standard Oil stock that he had kept had increased so much that he died worth more in financial terms than he had been worth when he was on his deathbed many years before. Now, what additional knowledge and skills will you need to make a difference in your community? Money that is given away at random is usually of little value. Money that is given away by an informed donor is usually far more effective at achieving important social goals. You've heard it said that you should investigate before you invest. You should also investigate before you contribute your time or your funds to any worthy cause. Do your homework. Do background research on organizations that you're thinking about contributing to. Make sure that the money that you donate is being spent on a good cause rather than on salaries, benefits, and additional fundraising expenses. If you want to work personally in a particular charity, identify the most important skills that you will have to develop to maximize the value of the time that you donate. Many people look upon their charitable activities as an opportunity for personal growth and development. Just as they are committed to becoming better and better in their work, they're also committed to becoming better and better at making a valuable contribution of their time and effort towards worthy causes. The principle of tithing, or giving 10% of your income to worthy causes, has been advocated for thousands of years. Many people feel that tithing unleashes a flood of benefits, both financial and otherwise, into your life. However, tithing can also refer to the amount of your time that you invest in your church, your political party, or other organization. Giving of yourself is often more important than giving of your finances. The best is a combination of both, but if your finances are limited, contribute your time instead to the causes that you believe in. Now identify the specific habits that you would have to have if you wanted to make a significant contribution to your society. You may want to develop the habits of self-discipline, self-denial, diligence, wisdom, foresight, patience, and humility. It's amazing how much you can get done if nobody cares who gets the credit. What are the daily activities that you would engage in if you wanted to make a contribution to worthy causes? What would you do regularly to assure that you were making a genuine difference in the quality of your community? Would you be attending meetings, making telephone calls, writing letters, serving on church or community boards or committees? There's a rule that says, the more you give of yourself without expectation of reward, the more are the rewards that will come back to you from the most unexpected sources. When you dedicate yourself to serving others, to assisting in a cause that is greater than yourself, you receive profound emotional and spiritual benefits that can be vastly greater and more important than any material rewards you could imagine. One of the great secrets of success is for you to always do what you love to do. It is for you to find something that fascinates you and attracts you. It is for you to then put your whole heart into doing whatever that is extremely well. When you find a cause that you really care about, and you begin putting your whole heart into that cause, into making a difference in your society and your community, you feel terrific about yourself. You feel happy and fulfilled inside. You feel important and valuable to yourself and to your world. You unlock more and more of your potential and become more and more of what you are truly meant to be. You move into a position of true leadership. Decide today to make a specific action commitment to do something that makes a difference. It may be something as simple as making a financial contribution to an organization or cause that you believe in. It may be phoning an individual or organization and volunteering your services. It may be setting a goal to do something that can have a profound impact on people in the years ahead. But whatever it is, do it now. Spiritual development and spiritual understanding have been the goals of great minds throughout all of human history. In every culture, society, and civilization, spiritual traditions have emerged and developed spontaneously without any external input or influence, often many thousands of miles apart. There seems to be, within each person, a desire to connect with something higher and greater than themselves. This inner drive seems to arise naturally and normally, often without any guidance or instruction. The great mystics and spiritual teachers of human history are those who have emerged to teach people how they can best satisfy this spiritual craving. The whole issue of spiritual development is complex and controversial. Each person who believes in a faith or a denomination is usually convinced that his or her ideas about God or a higher power are correct, and all others are wrong or misguided to some degree. The most terrible wars in human history have been religious wars fought over small differences in dogma, doctrine, or interpretation. Since most religions preach that God is a God of love, compassion, and understanding, it's sometimes amazing to look at what has been done and what continues to be done in the name of God. I've studied spiritual traditions for more than 30 years. I very much believe that spiritual development is the highest and most important form of development that a person can pursue. Rightly understood, spiritual development is the key to peace, prosperity, happiness, and personal fulfillment. About 325 BC, the philosopher Aristotle wrote his Nicomachean Ethics, one of history's finest explanations of the human condition. He begins with the observation that the common denominator of mankind is the desire to be happy. He concludes that the question of how to achieve this happiness is the fundamental question of philosophy. In 1895, Sigmund Freud of Vienna introduced his theory of psychoanalysis. His fundamental conclusion followed directly from Aristotle more than 3,000 years before. He called it the pleasure principle. Freud taught that human beings are motivated to move toward pleasure and to avoid pain, to move toward comfort and away from discomfort, physical, emotional, financial, or of any other kind. Modern economists and psychologists agree that every human action is stimulated by a felt dissatisfaction of some kind. Without this felt dissatisfaction, no action takes place. The individual remains content and satisfied. The primary driving forces of human behavior begin with discontent, dissatisfaction, discomfort, or unhappiness of some kind. Action takes place when the individual perceives a better state or condition where this unhappiness or discontent can be relieved. The individual then acts to achieve this goal. The action is either successful or unsuccessful. But all human behavior, from the beginning of man to today, is aimed at achieving a higher level of happiness than the one that currently exists. The highest human good is, and always has been, peace of mind. In fact, you can measure the success of your life at any given time by your level of happiness and peace of mind, by how good you feel about yourself and your world. Peace of mind is only possible when you feel completely satisfied and content inside. Peace of mind comes when you follow your intuition, your inner voice, and you do and say the things that feel exactly right for you. Now, no one can determine what will make another person happy. Because each person is unique, each person has different needs and desires, and is motivated by different goals and results. Each of us can only decide for ourselves what makes us happy personally. And each of us can only decide what makes us happy by listening to our inner voice and then by following its guidance and direction. In spiritual development, there are a series of simple principles that all religious traditions seem to have in common. The first principle is that there is a God who loves us, who knows us, who understands us, and who wants the very best for us. Some people refer to this as the God mind, the oversoul, universal intelligence, or the creative power. It doesn't really matter what it's called, even if it's just called nature. It is a comforting thought, though, to believe and accept that there is a great power in the universe that we can turn to, that desires our good, and that will guide us to always doing and saying the right things if we will but listen to the voice within us. Intuition is one of the greatest gifts of mankind. Every great thinker has been amazed at this wonderful power. And the more you listen to your intuition, the better and the more accurate it becomes. The more you listen to your inner voice, the louder and clearer it becomes in guiding you to make the right decisions in each area of your life. One of the great spiritual practices is that of solitude and contemplation. Most people have never tried the practice of solitude in their entire lives, yet it is an extraordinarily positive experience. The French writer Blaise Pascal wrote, "Almost all the problems of mankind arise from the inability to be alone with oneself in a room for any period of time." If ever you desire an answer to any question in your life, a solution to any dilemma, the resolution to any difficulty, practice solitude. Go and sit quietly by yourself with no noise or distractions for 60 minutes. It's been said that men and women begin to become great when they begin to spend time alone with themselves, listening to their inner voices. During this period of solitude, your mind will clear like silt clears in a bucket of muddy water. After about 30 minutes of quiet contemplation, you will feel calm and relaxed. You will feel happy and peaceful. You will feel at one with the universe. And then, at a certain moment as you sit there, ideas and insights will begin to flow through your mind. Whatever your current situation or dilemma, the right answer for you will come to you at exactly the right time, in exactly the right form. When you arise from your period of solitude and take action on that answer, you will find that it is exactly the right thing for you to do. This is the height of spiritual perception and spiritual connection. The second principle that all the spiritual traditions have in common is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Someone once wrote that there may be a better principle for human living than the golden rule, but no one has yet discovered it. The great truths of life are simple. It's amazing how many problems, both personal and social, that could be resolved if everyone decided to treat other people the way they would like to be treated. Listen to people the way you would like to be listened to. Sell your products and services the way you would like others to sell their products and services to you. Be courteous and respectful to other people the same way you would like them to be courteous and respectful to you. Be patient and understanding with people when they make mistakes, the same way you would like them to be patient and understanding with you when you make mistakes. The third principle common to all religious traditions was best articulated by Immanuel Kant, the Dutch philosopher. He called it the universal maxim. He said, "Live your life as though your every act were to become a universal law." This is an amazing idea. Imagine if everyone lived and behaved as if everyone else was going to do exactly what he or she did. Imagine that everyone was going to treat everybody else exactly the way you treat them. This universal maxim is a tremendous discipline and guide for individual behavior. It harms no one, and it helps everyone. It requires perfect truthfulness, honesty, and justice. The universal maxim requires that we treat everyone alike. Living by the universal maxim requires the utmost of spiritual and personal discipline from ourselves. Here are four questions that you can ask and answer for yourself on a regular basis. They help you to incorporate the universal maxim into your life. The first question is, what kind of a world would my world be if everyone in it were just like me? Most of the problems in the world today could be solved if everyone could say that this would be a better world if everyone behaved as they do. The second question is, what kind of a country would my country be if everyone in it were just like me? Most of our social and political problems are a direct result of the refusal of people to ask this question about themselves, about others, and about our country. The third question is, what kind of a company would my company be if everyone in it was just like me? This is one of the best questions for creating a terrific place to work. The more people there are in a company who can answer this question positively, the better company it becomes in every way. The final question is this: what kind of a family would my family be if everyone in it was just like me? Imagine if everyone in your family treated everyone else in your family the way you treat everyone else in your family. What kind of a family would it be? When a book proposal is accepted by the publisher, but the final manuscript has not yet been submitted, it is called a work in progress. In the same sense, each one of us is a work in progress. Each of us has a long way to go. Each of us has ample room for improvement. There are many things that each of us can do to become better human beings and better members of our societies. Asking ourselves these four questions regularly gives us guidance and insights into the specific changes and improvements we can make in ourselves. What are your values with regard to spiritual development? Do you believe in the values of peace, joy, love, compassion, forgiveness, self-control, faith, hope, happiness, and personal fulfillment? Select the values that you consider to be the most important. Organize your values by priority, from what is more important all the way through to what is least important. Put an X on your most important value and then begin to think about how you could express this value more often in your words and actions. Discipline yourself to live in harmony with your most important spiritual value. Whenever you slip, catch yourself and begin living and behaving by this value once again. In time, you will program this value into your subconscious mind. You will instill this value as a permanent part of your personality. You will actually transform your own character. You will become a finer and better person in every sense of the word. Now, what is your vision for yourself and your life if you had complete peace of mind? If your inner life was perfect in every way and you were completely happy and fulfilled, how would you be living your life? Think back over the happiest moments of your life. Think about the times when you felt the greatest joy and inner peace. What was going on at that time? Who were you with? What were you doing? What have been your most joyous experiences in life? What could you do to create a situation where you could enjoy more of those happy experiences in the year ahead? What should your focal point be? What one change or decision could you make that would move you more rapidly to a higher level of spiritual and inner development, toward a higher level of happiness and peace? Practice zero-based thinking. Look at your life and ask yourself if there is anything that you are doing that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into again today. Is there any relationship, personal or business, that you wouldn't get into again today if you had to do it over? Is there any part of your business, any product or service or process or activity that you wouldn't start up again today, knowing what you now know? Is there any investment or drain on your time, your emotion, or your energy, or money that you would not get into again today if you had to do it over, knowing what you now know? Sometimes the decision to stop doing something that is no longer a source of joy or happiness in your life can bring you more peace and satisfaction than anything else. And you always know what it is. The only question is whether or not you have the courage and character to take the action that you know you need to take. What are your goals for spiritual and inner development? What specific measurable steps can you take to achieve higher levels of happiness and personal satisfaction? What can you do today to eliminate the people, forces, and influences in your life that are disrupting your happiness and peace of mind? Remember that there are only four ways to bring about the changes you desire. You can do more of some things, or you can do less of others. You can start doing something, or you can stop doing something else altogether. Which is it to be? Next, what habits and behaviors do you need to develop to become a happier person and to enjoy greater peace of mind in everything you do? Many people develop the habit of reading spiritually each morning and thinking about how they can practice what they read during the day. Others develop the habit of daily solitude. Some develop the habit of attending a church that they enjoy on a regular basis. One spiritual habit is to donate your time to working with people who are less fortunate than you are. Spending time with other spiritually developed people is another great habit that helps you to develop spiritually as well. Next, identify the daily activities that you could begin practicing to increase your levels of spiritual development and inner peace. Whatever you do, anything that you repeat over and over again will eventually become a new habit. What are the specific activities that you would like to develop into habits? Finally, make a specific action commitment. Decide upon one step that you are going to take today to begin moving toward higher levels of spiritual development and peace of mind. Either get in or get out. Either start doing something or stop doing something else. Make a decision of some kind and then take action on your decision. Determine your focal point. Put an X on the one decision or activity that can have the most immediate positive impact on your level of personal happiness and inner joy. Whatever it is, just do it. Perhaps the most important spiritual principle of all is for you to develop an unshakable trust in the universe and in the goodness of God or of a higher power. Look for the good in every situation. Look for something beneficial that you can gain from every setback or difficulty. Have complete confidence and faith that everything that is happening to you is happening for a good reason. However it appears at the moment, the reason is usually to help you to be more successful and happy in the future. Norman Vincent Peale used to say, "When God wants to send you a gift, He wraps it up in a problem. The bigger the gift that God wants to send you, the bigger the problem He wraps it up in." In hundreds of interviews with the most successful men and women of the age, the researchers found that they all had a single thinking quality in common. They all believed that within every difficulty and problem they faced, there was something good or helpful that they could benefit from. Look for the valuable lesson in every difficulty. Have complete faith that there is a divine intelligence that cares about you and which is guiding your path every step of the way. When you begin practicing this way of thinking, you'll be amazed at the wonderful things that will happen in your life. One of the great spiritual principles is for you to identify the biggest single problem in your life today. What is it? Then, look into that problem and imagine that it has been sent to you at this moment to teach you something that you need to know. Imagine that this problem has been artfully constructed to contain one or more valuable lessons that you absolutely need to learn to move to the next level of success and happiness in your life. All great men and women are men and women of faith. They have complete confidence that everything is unfolding for their good, even if they cannot see it at the moment. They believe that every setback has a benefit or opportunity hidden within it. They have complete faith that everything is happening as it should, and that in the end, everything will turn out well. And they are seldom disappointed. Spiritual development and peace of mind are the highest of all human goods and benefits. Spiritual development enhances your life and fills you with joy and satisfaction. It makes you happy and gives you tremendous pleasure. Best of all, it is available to you and to everyone at no cost. Developing spiritually and enjoying peace of mind simply requires that you live in truth with yourself and with everyone around you. Spiritual development requires that you trust in the universe to guide and direct your path. Spiritual development requires that you take time each day to sit quietly by yourself and to listen for the still, small voice within. Spiritual development requires that you follow the guidance of your intuition and believe absolutely that everything is working out for the best. When you begin to live in truth with yourself and others and trust to your inner voice, you will probably never make another mistake. You will make your life into something truly wonderful and inspiring. And it's completely up to you. Now let's wrap up with 7 rules for success in the 21st century. These are some of the most important ideas I have learned in more than 30 years of studying successful people. Rule number 1. Your life only gets better when you get better. Your outer world will always be a reflection of your inner world. If you want to improve the quality of your outer world, you must go to work on yourself. And since there's no limit on how much better you can get, there's no limit to how much better you can make your life. Rule number 2 for the 21st century. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that really matters is where you're going. Never allow yourself to be slowed down or held back by events that have occurred in your past. Learn from them and let them go. Resolve to keep yourself focused on the future and where you're going most of the time. And since your future is only limited by your imagination, there are no limits to what you can achieve in the months and years ahead. Rule number 3. Anything worth doing well is worth doing poorly at first. Remember, everything is hard before it's easy. A primary reason that people do not realize their full potentials is that they try something new, and when it doesn't work perfectly the first time, they quit and go back to their old, lower level of performance. Anything worth doing well is worth doing poorly at first, and it's often worth doing poorly several times until you master it. Rule number 4. You are only as free as your options, the well-developed alternatives you have available to you. One of the greatest human goods is personal freedom, and your freedom is largely determined by your choices. The more options you have, the greater freedom and self-confidence you have. You should be continually developing new options throughout your career. Never hang all of your hopes for success on a single possibility. Rule number 5. Within every problem or difficulty you experience, there is the seed of an equal or greater advantage or benefit. Look for the good in every problem. Look for the valuable lesson in every adversity or setback. Look for something that you can gain from every difficulty, and you will always find it. Rule number 6. You can learn anything you need to learn to achieve any goal you can set for yourself. You are designed by nature to be a learning organism. Anything that anyone else has learned within reason, you can learn as well. You can acquire any kind of knowledge and develop any skill that you need to rise to the top of your field. And finally, rule number 7, the only real limits on what you can do or be are the limits you accept in your own mind. As Shakespeare said, nothing is, but thinking makes it so. Henry Ford said, if you believe you can do a thing or you believe you cannot, in either case, you're probably right. You have within you, right now, all the talents and abilities you could ever want or need to achieve any goal or dream you can set for yourself. The only question you ever have to ask is, how badly do you want it? If you want anything badly enough, and you're willing to persist long enough, nothing can stop you from eventually achieving it. Good luck.
If you enjoyed this program from Master Motivator and Success Coach Brian Tracy, you are probably the type of high achiever that would benefit from Brian Tracy's personal success coaching program. This one-on-one coaching program is unlike any self-development tool ever offered. Imagine spending 12 weeks with your own coach who has been personally trained by Brian Tracy. Your coach will aid you on building your life strategies, guiding you as you take action steps toward making your greatest desires a reality. If you are like many, you often set goals, but sometimes lack the motivation to carry them through. With the ongoing nurturing and guidance of your personal coach and this outstanding program, you will be accountable for the changes you want to make in your life, and you'll soon see those changes becoming a reality. Created exclusively for Nightingale Connett by Brian Tracy, this program has had massive life-changing results on those that have committed themselves to it. It consists of a minimum of 12 weeks of 30-minute one-on-one telecoaching sessions with a trained personal coach. Accompanying the program are 12 cassette tapes, one for each week of study, along with a guidebook. This extraordinary program focuses on every aspect of your life and helps to integrate and balance your life success skills along with your business growth. Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Program offers you guidance in the areas of strategic planning, intelligence, health and fitness, power, career success, time management, financial planning, life success, relationships, goal setting, leadership, and building character. Your life will magically transform as you turn your conceptualized thoughts into active steps toward achieving your goals. Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Program is one of the most comprehensive, powerful self-development programs to date and is designed to fit your goals, dreams, and desires both personally and professionally. Act now, today, and call in to receive further information and your free personal success profile with one of our trained personal development representatives. Designed with Brian Tracy, this profile will identify your strengths and pinpoint your growth opportunities. We offer this analysis to you at no cost and no obligation, so don't delay. To register for this outstanding coaching program or to receive your free personal success profile, call Nightingale Connett now at this number, 1-877-297-9799. That's 1-877-297-9799 and ask for Brian Tracy's Personal Success Coaching Profile. It's one phone call that could change your life.